What we're going to do today is absolutely, I would hope anyway, the intent is to be conversational this morning. I don't want today to be a sermon. I want it to be just a personal all-church challenge regarding our kickoff of at-home ministry and prayer at home. And in Matthew chapter 6, look with me at verse 5. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." Wow. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." And then Jesus goes into what you all have heard before, verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray." And we should probably get that kind of out of the way at the beginning regarding this thing of prayer. You might say right now, I pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom." And yet Jesus said in verse 9, "after this manner." So let's take this right now in our dialogue today. As we look to a message that is entitled, "Let's Talk," I want you to write that down, because prayer is talking to God. And what we want to do is change the culture of this church regarding prayer /i.e. talking to God. When Jesus said, "after this manner, pray," how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have been taught, been brought up to pray the prayer? "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Listen, you're nodding your head. Did you know the Bible never asked you to pray like that? You got to be kidding me. I've been doing that for 50 years. You've been doing that for 50 years because you were told to pray it. Jesus said a moment ago, "Do not pray or talk to us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in a repetitious manner." Prayer is not some sort of a voodoo announcement, a chant. It's not an incantation when we pray. If I just recite this prayer enough over and over again, what's the conclusion? God must act. That's not what it does. That's not what prayer is for. In fact, for all of us, maybe this morning, it's best for us to pay close attention to an acronym. I'm going to give you this acronym this morning. I'm going to ask you to take notes today. And I do really pray that this is not a sermon. I want it to be us just talking, as it were, together and with the Lord. Talk. T-A-L-K. When we think about prayer, I want you to start using the word talk. Talk to God. When we think of the word prayer, we think of some liturgical practice, some hardcore thing that I either have to, pull the car over. We have to stop and pray. You shouldn't have to do that. You can do that, but you shouldn't have to do that. Well, look, we haven't prayed in months. We better go to a prayer meeting and pray. You can go to a prayer meeting, but you don't connect with God like that. Prayer is talk with God. How do you talk to your friends? How do you talk to people? The same way God wants you to talk with him. I believe our flesh, our religiosity, I'm certainly not going to discount Satan getting involved in the mix, to make the greatest resource that you and I have available as believers, this thing of prayer, talking with God, I believe it's the enemy's desire to so make it difficult that you don't pray. George mentioned a poll that we did, it was really a poll, in all honesty. You received a anonymous type questionnaire, you filled it out, you handed it back in, and there was something like 4% of the church answered that they pray on a daily basis with family, with children, with spouses. 4%. As a pastor, my heart sunk when we got that data back. I mean, I just got to tell you, I just got sick to my stomach. Now, I can say what I'm about to say because it's not a sermon today. We're just talking. It'll never go on the radio. No one will ever see this. So that means then the vast majority of 90% plus of us have no problems in our lives. None at all. Our marriages are doing great. We don't have to pray. Our kids are doing fantastic. They're saved. They're on the way to heaven. They're walking in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They're just movers and shakers for the kingdom of God. We don't have to pray. I'm being kind of sarcastic right now, do you think? My husband is such an amazing man of God. I don't have to pray. My wife is such a woman of God. I don't have to pray. Why do we not pray? What about, how's your employment? Oh, I've got so much work, I don't have to pray. What are we to think? If we're not a praying people, all must be going very well. And you and I know that's not the case. Why do we not pray then? I think we make prayer such a big deal, such a work, such a thing that it's almost untouchable. Look, I will answer for you. Do we not know that we're all supposed to pray? Yes. Then why so few pray? Because I'm scared. Because can I really get close to God? Will he even hear? Will he even listen? Well, where does that thinking come from? I know where it comes from. It comes from not knowing what God's heart is through his word. God's word says things like this. If my word abides in you, you may ask what you will in prayer, and I will answer you. Wow. Jesus says over and over again, pray. In fact, in a moment, and we read it a moment ago in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, pray. It's amazing. Listen, pray. Your heavenly Father already knows what you're going to ask for before you ask. Now, some of you have that question. Yeah, I don't pray because he already knows. That's not the reason why he said that. Why are we not a praying people? We must become a praying people. So listen, today is a oil change. Today is a tune-up. Today is us learning how to talk with God. So if you're taking notes today, think of this. For the acronym TALK, the letter T, telling. Will you write that down? Just write it down. The telling. Telling God. Prayer is given to us by God. Remember, he's the one that asked us to pray. He wants us to tell him. T is for telling. Tell God what is it. Tell God what concerns you. Tell God what you care about. Tell God what plagues you. Tell God everything, anything, all of the above. To tell God. Over and over again, the Bible is begging us, talk to me, God says. Tell me what's going on. In our culture, listen, I pray that this is not true in this church, but I'm afraid it just might be, that we might spend more time texting than telling God. Now, if God had an iPhone, maybe all that would switch. God doesn't want you to text, but as easy as you text, God wants you to talk to him. Before we talk to God about something and tell God something, we may be prone because we're not walking in the spiritual plane of our lives. We might text our friend about some event or some trouble. We might tweet somebody, or we might Facebook something. Oh, you know, this situation is going on in my life. But church, listen. And boy, this is going to sound foreign to so many people today. I think we need to maybe pray now that we get away from talking so much of what God needs to hear, but we go to people with it. We should tell God first. I think maybe in our culture, in our world today, we might spend so much time with the extension of technology being the medium by which we get information out, rather than going to our knees, as it were, in prayer or crying out to God. Christian, very important. If you and I do not have a healthy, living, vibrant prayer life, we must today make a big change. I speak to you as a pastor today over this flock, and I have no jurisdiction over any other. I want to encourage you to pray. And church, listen. We will all go through these seasons of our lives where maybe sometimes we're tempted to make it some laborious, difficult thing. And I think that's offensive to God. He wants us to talk to him. Listen, I know the answer to this. Do you have people that you talk to in your life? Do you have people that you talk to in your life that you love? Does somebody have to tell you, now look, is that your husband or is that your wife or listen, if you're engaged to somebody, is that your fiance over there? Yes, it is. Or is that your child over there? Yes, it is. Okay, I want you to go, and I want you to go over there and talk to them. Can you imagine? Nobody has to tell you. Why? Because you go do it, don't you? Why? Because it's a relationship. Why? Because it's connected and rooted in love. Conversation is normal. When you converse, you are telling. Look, we could have a marriage, or we could have a relationship with our kids, or our kids with the parents, and all we have is a house, an address, we pay bills, we mow the lawn, we take out the trash, and we may communicate duties, but we have no sit-down telling of life's exchange one with another. We have a corporate existence. Church, listen, we are Christians. I'm speaking to the Christian this morning. If we do not have an ongoing open door policy in our Christian home of prayer, then what do we have? Well, I go to church on Sunday. I love you, but I think Jesus might, and he did a moment ago, call that hypocrisy. Well, I pray. Do you have a wife or do you have a husband? Do you have children? Do you pray with them? Nope, but I pray. I think maybe you might be a little alone in that. I think what God would say to us today is, church, sit up and notice. Marriages are falling apart. Kids are not following their parents' faith, or they're departing from truth. What's going on? I'm wondering if, because of a lack of prayer, and that we don't believe in just talking to God as him being our friend in a common sense, that I'm wondering if we're not surrendering the reins and the victory of marriage and of our children being victorious for Jesus. I'm wondering how many parents today, for example, how many husbands, how many wives are burdened with the spiritual welfare of their spouse or of their kids. We need to make a change. When our recent poll shows us such a fragment of people are praying on a regular basis, tell God. He wants to hear. Isn't it amazing? Again, God wrote his word to us and says, tell me. The Bible says, for example, in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon God because he cares for you. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Heave it. The word in Greek means heave your cares and concerns. When we tell God, watch everybody, when we tell God about our issues, guess what happens? It's a supernatural dividend that's paid out by God. You begin to worry less until worry is almost evaporated from your life. Don't raise your hand. Are you prone to worry? Are you prone to fret? If you are, how do you overcome that? No, listen. Somebody will say to you, pray about it. Now, we often say that as Christians. Well, just pray about it. But if you and I are not experiencing the connection of what happens in prayer, that God wants to talk to us, he wants to have that relationship with us, that we can dialogue with God. When somebody says, well, just pray about it, you think they're telling you something that is ridiculously too simple. Oh, hey, what did the guy say? He said to pray about it. But wait a minute. When we pray, we're telling God about the thing of our lives. Don't raise your hand. Do you have something going on in your life? Do you want it fixed? How do you think it's going to get fixed? Now, if you're a Christian, it's very, very narrow. Very, very narrow. If you're a Christian, there's only one way to get it fixed. It's not, a pill won't do it. Some analyst won't be able to do it. Nothing of the physical realm will be able to do it. You were designed as a Christian to talk to your Father. And when we tell God, when we speak to God, he steps in. The amazing thing about us talking with God, praying, is that he is so willing to come into the situation. But watch this. When he says in the word, as we read a moment ago, all these things your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. But Jesus said, ask. Why? If he already knows. Because it is all based upon a relational experience with God. If Jesus, if your relationship with God is not personal, I can tell you right now, there's not a prayer life happening in your world. That's where God gets personal with you. Can I put it this way? It's pretty graphic. Charles Spurgeon said in 1861, I think it was. He said, prayer is the believer's intercourse with God. We can't get any closer with God unless we pray. Listen, have you felt ever distant from God and wondered why? The first question is, have you been telling God about your life? Have you been telling God about others in prayer? Have you been lifting them up? Here's what we want to launch this Sunday in this church. Is the at-home outreach is available now for you 24/7. And this campaign we start is to encourage you to develop a prayer life. Moms, dads, listen up. And I'm going to be picking on you during the course of the day. And husbands and wives. If you are not, as of today, praying with your kids or with your spouse, start today. Now watch this. I know this from previous experiences. There's going to be a pushback. You may not say it out loud, but for example, because I am a man, I'll pick on this one. I'm not going to do it. I'll pray, but I'm not going to pray out loud. Why? Think about it. Why would a Christian man not pray out loud for his wife or his kids? There's only one reason why. Pride. We feel stupid. We somehow think we're going to pray the wrong prayer, use the wrong words. And Jesus warned us a moment ago, this is a dangerous thing regarding the envelope of hypocrisy that has crept in on this issue of prayer. Listen, everyone, when you pray, care less about what people around you think about your prayer. Did you hear me? Well, Pastor, people are going to be judging my prayer. Then they need to repent. You are not praying to them. You're talking to God. And I got news for you. How many of you ever had kids? Raise your hands. Do you remember when your kids said their first word? Listen, when they said their first word, you started telling people about it, and you said to them, say that again. Rebecca, we lived by John Wayne Airport when she was little, and I think Rebecca's first word was airplane. Airplane. That's airplane in English. And I was, Lisa, she said airplane. And then say it again. Listen, when you pray, God wants you to say it again. Say what? Pray. Talk to me. It's a beautiful thing. You don't discourage that. And so listen, dad, when you pray, husband, when you pray, start today. And no matter what you think about your prayer, it's not important. The important thing is you're talking to God. And as we come to the end of this message, I'm going to give you some homework. So don't think you're going to get away scot-free today. I'm going to give you some things to do. But this is vitally important. Tell God what's going on in your lives. And we need to be very careful that we do not get into that habit or stay in that habit of telling everybody else about what's happening in our world except God. Church, before we move on, are you ready for this? To tell God, Jesus makes reference to it. You need to go to a secret place and talk to God. This is a work for us. We are on the rush the moment the alarm goes off. It is go, 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 and we barely ever have a time. Here's what I'm saying today. We've got to make time. If your family, if your marriage, if your kids are ever going to survive the future, mom and dad, you got to be praying. And here it is. I'm hesitating. Listen to me hesitate. This is terrible. You got to pull the earphones out of your ear. You got to turn off the iPad. You got to turn off the phone. You got to get away from the TV. Listen, it's going to get real quiet in here for a second. No one's even going to sneeze. You got to turn off the show. You got to, if you have to, draw the curtains at the just. And Jesus said, go to your secret place. Why? Why do you need to go to a secret place? It's not that God demands it. You can pray in a tree if you want to. You can pray on the freeway, of course. In fact, listen, the Bible says that we ought to always be in an attitude of prayer. Did you know that? We are to always be praying. How do I do that? Develop that context of telling God. Telling God everything. If you and I were to take a walk right now, we would take a walk and we would talk. We would be walking and talking. Imagine if we were walking on a walk and I would say to you, let's pray. Would you drop to your knees or fall on your face? That's beautiful, but it's not necessary. God hears you at all times, in any position, everywhere. So why do we not pray more? If prayer connects us with the greatest source power for our victory as Christians in this world, then why do we not pray more? What is wrong? What have we come to believe? I think we've made it too much of a big deal. And we need to tell God. Think about the power of just walking and talking with Him. Now look, write it down. A is for anticipate God to answer. When we tell God something in prayer, A in the acronym is to anticipate God answering. Don't answer this, but how many times when you pray are you really believing an answer of that prayer? And this is going to sting us. Watch. If we pray like this, God, I give you this day. Thank you for this food. I got to get it to work on time. Help me with that. Amen. You know what? I think it's safe to say that in about 5 minutes, you're going to forget that you even prayed that prayer. I want you to get into the habit of praying awesome, radical prayer. You say, Jack, I want to do that, but how do I do that? You are going to tell God in prayer. You're going to get alone, secret place, quiet place, find your place. And you are going to, when you pray, anticipate God to answer your prayer. Church, listen, if you and I are not anticipating God to answer, I got news for you. The Bible makes it very clear. He's probably not going to answer us. Why? Because we didn't pray believing. Jesus goes so far to say that when we pray, we should thank God in advance for the prayer. We should thank Him in advance. Do you pray like that? We need to start praying like that. We have a staff, both male and female, that meet on an ongoing basis, relentless, nonstop barrage of marriage counseling. And I got to tell you, those appointments are usually set for 55 minutes. And I got to tell you, after the first 10 minutes, the answers for their dilemma are always the same answers. Because most couples are not praying together. Most couples are not reading their Bibles together. And that translates into a very, very rough go. And so the instruction is given, pray. By the time people get to us, the walls are usually built up so high that they won't pray. This is the key to the success of our kids or our marriages. Are you engaged right now? Don't raise your hand. Are you engaged? Yes. Listen, does that woman to be your wife, does that man to be your husband, do you guys pray together? Think of it. I want to know how the person relates to God before I go any further with them. Very important. Anticipate God to answer. God wants to answer. In John 15, verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus said it. He said, if my word, the word of God, the Bible, abides in you, that is, if it lives inside of your being, that means you know it, you may ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, for herein is my Father glorified. Listen, about prayer, God wants your prayers answered. But God has a way of answering our prayers. You've often heard me say, I want you to pray Bible. Listen, it's not a magic trick. Well, what do I do? You mean I just quote the Bible? I'm going to get an answer? No, it presupposes the Bible's in you. Let it come out of you. And when you pray Bible, certain things happen. And you can anticipate an answer. When you pray Bible, your will is conformed to His will. When you pray the Bible. You say, what do you mean pray the Bible? All right. Philippians 4, 6. That verse tells us, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will guard, garrison in the Greek, garrison, surround your heart through Jesus Christ. What an amazing promise. Church, look at this. It's on the screen. There it is. On the screen. This is a promise. God says, cry out to me. Be anxious for nothing. Listen, without prayer being that place of our lives, if we're not anticipating God to answer, you're going to be very, very worried about things. You're going to be very prone to anxiety. You may be a Christian, but you don't believe God's going to answer you. And the Bible says right here, be anxious for nothing. Here's the great thing. Listen. When we tell God and we anticipate an answer back, do you know what happens? It's a funny thing. Watch this. Are you watching? Okay, I'm going to be personal right now. Just between us. This message is not going to go anywhere but right here. No radio, no, nothing. Part of the anticipation of my life, expecting God to answer, is the prelude in prayer. Let's be honest. If we have made prayer a very religious, mechanical thing, you're going to dread it. You're going to avoid it. You know what? I would call a prayer meeting, for example, as a pastor, and I would say, be back here at 4 o'clock today. You already make up your mind. I'm not coming. That's hard work, man. I want to suggest that you've got a completely different and wrong view of prayer. For me, personally, this is what I need to do. I'm not saying do this. I'm saying find your way of meeting with God which assists or helps or spawns anticipation. Are you ready? Here we go. This is what I do. And it's in the dark so nobody can see because I have a very small house. I'll get up early, go into another room, and usually I go like this. Lord, I just ask you to take my life today and whatever's about to happen right now, that you would just conform me to your plan. And this day's never been lived before, so I know you know it. And I'm asking you to just conform my life to what you want to do today. So let me insert this, church. Prayer for me is not my will be done. It's his will being done for me or in me and through me, okay? The next thing I do is I like to sing God a song. You may not want to do that. Women will go, oh, that's so nice. Men will go, ain't going to happen. That's why I just said, and I think that's why Jesus is saying, get alone somewhere. For me, it's like, get alone, Jack. I don't want to subject anybody to that. And so I'll sing a song. The next thing for me is this. Now, did God hear me just as well standing as he does me kneeling? Of course. Then why am I doing this? I'll give you, especially us guys, this is really a big tip. While I'm standing, I'm often battling things like, did I change the oil in the car? Or should I change the oil in the car? Did I pay the bill? I wonder if I don't know. And you got to fight that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Will someone say amen? Lie to me. Lie to me. Say amen. Okay. When I go to my knees and pray, it's more difficult physically. What does that do? Are you listening? Yes. It causes me to focus on my prayer. What? Why? Why? Because my knees are beginning to hurt. It's hard to sit upright like this. It's not legalism for me. It actually helps you focus. And then when I sense that God and I are talking, I'm telling them stuff, I can anticipate an answer. I'll either go to my knees or lay flat on my face. Nobody sees me. Nobody knows about that but you now. It's between me and God. You may not want to do that, but I'm asking, I'm pleading. Doggone it, if I was a dictator, I'd make you. Find a secret place and do a secret thing with God. Now watch, I'm going to share this. I'm going to share something, and some people had a hard time with it after first service. And I said, did you not hear what I said? I told you in advance that it's not for anybody to know or to do. It's between God and I. So I said, look, I love your concern, but you have no bearing on what you're criticizing me about. And here it is. I have an amazing prayer shawl, a Hebrew prayer shawl from Israel. It's awesome. It cost like $100 bazillion. I didn't pay for it. Someone gave it to me, which is even better. But it's just so cool. Now watch. Why am I telling you this? Because if you're a legalistic person, you're going to think, I got to get one just like it. Which direction do you stand? Which way do you point when you pray? I ain't telling. I ain't telling, because you'll make it some religious act. And that's not what God wants. He doesn't want you to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See you, God. Thanks for the prayer time. Bye. That is not prayer. And what I'm sharing with you is personal. This is between my God and me. You find your thing. But for me, I'll take that prayer shawl and I'll put it over me. Well, Pastor, you know, the Bible says that you shouldn't cover your head in Corinthians. A man should pray with his head uncovered. I know that. We're not talking about that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I say to God, this prayer shawl, is it is over my head, I can feel it. And it's over my shoulders and hangs down my side, I can feel it. Between God and I, it reminds me that he's hugging me when I'm talking to him. So will you just kind of butt out, will you? And let me have that? Well, you know, Pastor, you could wind up, you know, making an idol out of that. I've already heard all that stuff. It's none of your business. I'm just telling you right now that this is what my God and I like. If you want to do that on top of your house, do it. I'm just saying, we need to be challenged as a church to do something in prayer, because we're not praying. Well, so how long? What? How long should we pray? There you go again. God has never said. In fact, did you know the Bible says that when we come before the Lord, our words should be short and few? By the way, if you go to a prayer meeting and somebody prays a long time in the prayer meeting, guess what we all know? He doesn't pray at home. He stored it all up to come here. People who pray often don't pray long. This ought to be an encouragement to you. People who pray often don't pray long. Because it's not like this. Oh, wow, God. Oh, where do I start? Oh, man. About 3 years ago. God's not interested in that. Why? He wants us to walk with him in an attitude of prayer. Now, I'm going to say some things. Don't take it wrong. But I believe dads ought to be living their life in their home like this. When you hear your kids stub their toe or lose their G.I. Joe or their car keys, you ought to just say, hey, are you crying back there?
Yes.
What happened?
I stubbed my toe.
Dear God, in Jesus' name, heal that toe. Does it feel better? Well, it will later. Watch. My kids are 30 years old. They'll still pray. Dad, will you pray I lost my car keys? Why? They grew up when they lost stuff. We taught them. When you lose stuff, pray. God will show you. That's amazing. God answered our prayers all these years so much. Hey, Dad, will you pray? I lost my car keys. I can't find them anywhere. When you pray, anticipate God to answer. Listen, there's so much we don't see answered because we think of the burden in our mind. We worry about it and tweet a friend about it and text somebody about it. And we never go to God with it. And we wonder, oh, I never get answers to my prayer. God is saying, hello, you've told everybody in the universe about it. It's gone viral, but you didn't talk to me about it. And you wonder why you don't get an answer. Don't mistake texting for praying. Okay? Anticipate. Third, listen. Listen for God to respond. A.W. Tozer said he would not pray. This was his thing. A.W. Tozer said he would not pray except with his Bible open. That's a good practice. To go to prayer and open your Bible. To be what? Talking to God, anticipating a response, and listening for him to speak. Now, how does God speak? All kinds of ways. You may have known people. I've known a few people in my life who've told me, I heard God speak. I heard his audible voice. I've never heard that. That would be amazing, I guess. Quite frankly, I don't really care to. I don't really care to hear his audible voice. You want to know why? Because how he speaks to my heart is so overwhelmingly crystal clear, I don't need his voice. I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but when God speaks in my life, he uses the word of God. I can be looking at a sunset, doing some homework, paying the bills, mowing the lawn. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Boom, in an instant, wham. And I know, I think that's somewhere in Isaiah. That's the answer. That verse in Proverbs 4 is the answer to the thing I've been struggling with. Thank you, God. It's crystal clear. Oh, my goodness. I love it. So, listen, if God parts the sky and speaks, okay, so what? It's fantastic. It's fantastic the way he speaks out of his word to my heart as it is. Listen. Listen to what he's saying. He will never, never, ever, never contradict his word, the Bible, ever. It will be in perfect harmony with the word of God. The Old Testament tells us that when God speaks, he speaks often in a still, small voice. A nudge. A push in a certain way. Now listen, church, I'm deliberately talking soft with the word listen, because that's what it requires of us to get to that place of listening. If you got to get up early, that's the quiet place and time, do it. Can you please listen? I'm going to challenge you. I want you to start because you get to, not because you have to. I want you to start regulating your life for this talk or prayer time with God. And I'm going to encourage you to try this. Try it for 30 days. If it doesn't work, that's how confident I am. If it doesn't work, your money back. 30-day guarantee. It's going to be really hard at first. Do I have your attention? When you've told God in the telling and you anticipate an answer and then you go to the listening, you're going to need to find a place and you're going to need to sit still. Bible, and have a blank piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and wait. You'll think 5 minutes is eternity. It's so hard at first. Young people today, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You have been so programmed, and I believe it's satanic, to fill your life with so much constant noise that I don't know if a young person has even gotten under a tree today and laid underneath it and just thought a thought without some sort of electronic device within a foot of them. Get away from it.
Man, look, that dude is so old. He said, have no electronics in your life.
Will you try it? Just try it. Unplug. We have Christianity unplugged. It's awesome. Train yourself to listen in the stillness. Vitally important. Absolutely important. And then the final thing is this, the K. The K in talk is knowing. Why do some people are clearly led by God? How does that happen? Do they have a special direct line to God? Nope. How do they know what to do? It seems like everything they do is blessed. How does that happen? Ah, good question. They've gotten into the knowing. They've told God, they're telling God, they're anticipating an answer, that takes faith. They're listening, that takes discipline, obedience, and knowing. Knowing is, what God answers me, I'm going to do. And God begins to speak. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, we talked about it last week a little bit, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in that life's situation. Just discover me in the midst of it. To know. God wants us to pray that we might know what to do. So many people today do not know what to do. And they want to talk to humans about it. What should I do? Watch this. What should I do about my wife? She's a mess. She's so messed up. She's so goofy. She's so this. She's so that. Number one, watch. Number one, sir, pray. Watch. It happens every day. We should have cameras in these counseling sessions. Pray. And they go like this. They do. People do this automatically. It's like genetic. Pray for your wife. I pray. How do you pray? What do you mean, how do I pray? I pray. I tell God to change her. The knowing is what God wants to tell us, not what we want to tell God. Now, God, I need you to know something. Are you kidding me? No, God is saying, Jack, you need to know something. Here's the deal. Your wife has been acting this way or feeling this way or being this way because you have neglected this over her life. What? Believe me, this is part of the process. God puts his arm around you, walks you out back and says, okay, you're going to know this by the time we're done. Here's the deal. And I guarantee you. Now I want to talk to husbands right now. Husbands and wives. God will take you, the change he makes in your life, to affect that wife of yours that you think is so messed up. That husband that is so messed up, you know what God does? He fixes or changes or conforms the wife in such a way to change him. Not by saying, honey, read your Bible, repeat it back to me. And write down, I want you to write down how many verses you read today. That will never do it. God, listen, God will tell the intercessor, okay, if you have a messed up husband, God will tell you, the wife, the intercessor, this is what I want you to do. It's that witness of the Spirit of God through your life that will affect that husband. You hear that? This is a mystery that can be known in the kingdom of God. It's amazing. What about my kids? My kids. Listen, many of our kids grow up not knowing Jesus because of the examples or the lack thereof we painted for our kids. Well, we went to church every Sunday. Jesus warned that the hypocrites prayed on the streets so everybody could hear them. And Jesus called them hypocrites. We can go to church, listen, every Sunday for the rest of our lives and be absolute hypocrites before the reality of God. Because we never, never have Christianity in our home. Well, what does that look like? And I'm glad you asked. We're going to end with this. Guys, put the first slide up on the screen. It's the daily do's for mom and dad. Now, this is not in anything that they're going to hand out there at the at-home center. I'll tell you the reason why. This is very personal. I wrote this. If there's any misspelled words, it's because I did that. This is from me. Okay? And do you guys all hear me? Anybody not hear me? You can hear me? All five, seven of you can hear me? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to say a few things in a moment, and I humbly announce these things out of sheer inability to be a parent, out of sheer inability to have my own strength, out of sheer inability to even pray. How do you... it cracks me up. People write books on prayer. I would never write a book on prayer. You want to know why? It could be the greatest book ever written on prayer. I still wouldn't write it. You want to know why? At what point are you authorized to write a book on prayer? At what point have you become such an expert on prayer that it's time for you to write a book? You see what I'm saying? Taking a thimble and scooping it into the Pacific Ocean with hopes of emptying it is like touching prayer. There's no end to it. It's infinite. But it's extremely simple. As our lungs go in and out, that's how we should be praying. All the time, constantly. Church, listen, before I go down this list, true prayer is an attitude you maintain in your life. 24/7, 365, you don't have to worry about it. It's part of breathing. You pray. When your boss is saying, you're an idiot. I can't believe you did that. And you're just going like this. Dear Lord, give me strength now. Lord, help me. Lead me, guide me. I hope you prayed like that. Maybe you're not in enough trouble. Maybe you need to get in more trouble. So here's the deal. The daily do's for mom and dad. Literally, put your hand on your child's head or shoulder and pray a blessing on them before they or you leave the house. Again, if I could be a dictator today, I would make you do this. I'd love to just take, you know, like on Animal Planet. I mean, you bring your ear up here and I'll staple a number on your ear with a little tracking device. Make sure you do that. We'll program that into you. I wish I could do that. But I'm pleading with you, please try this. Take your kid, watch. I'm just going to do this. Watch this. Pretend you're my kid. This is real life. This is what we've done in our home since they were hatched. our kids. Dear Lord, we just pray right now that you bless Ashley, bless Rebecca today. Give them great peace, give them great comfort, watch over them, and may they not forget you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, sweetie, have a great day, okay? I'll see you later. How long did that take? How long did that take, for real? Listen, church, I don't know if any prayer in our home has ever lasted longer than that. Why? Because God heard every word. I don't have to worry about it. Literally, text, call, or tweet your child to remind them that they are being prayed for throughout the day. How long does that take? 5 seconds? If they pick up the phone and answer, 10 seconds? Hey, honey, listen, I'm just praying for you. Are things okay? Yeah, things are good. All right, God bless you. I'll see you later. Listen. Number three, literally put them to bed with a prayer of thanks and blessing and let them hear you say it, mister. No more silent prayers, Dad, over your kids as of today. Yeah, my kid's 18 years old. Is he eating your food? Is he under your roof? Tuck him in. Well, he goes to bed later than I do. Then stand in front of his screen, pull the headphones off his head. I'm not joking. I am not kidding you. You think about this before you invite me over. I'm telling you right now. It's not going to be pretty. Stand in front of the TV and say, son, I'm going to bed. And he's first day you do this, he'll go, what? What are you doing? They're about ready to score. You can find it on the web. I'm going to pray for you right now. What? Lord, bless Billy Bob. Give him a safe night. Give him wisdom. Lord, put discernment in his mind and give him a great, great sleep and watch over our home in Jesus' name. Good night, son. God bless you. How long did that take? 20 seconds? We're not even doing this in our homes. And you don't have to do anything more than that. I would do that every day. Guess what happens? It's awesome. You fall asleep or something goes down. Don't be surprised if your kid comes up and says, hey, Dad, wake up. Are you going to pray for me or what? I'm going to bed. I humbly announce that my kids knew this till the day they spent their last day in our home before they got married. Nothing special about this. Next slide. We're almost done. Next slide. I got to hurry. The daily dues for a husband and wife. I'm wondering if you'll pick up on the pattern. Literally put your hand on your spouse's head or shoulder and pray a blessing on them before they or you leave the house. Touch your wife's head or shoulder or your husband's head or shoulder and say, Lord, protect my man today. Put a gate over his eyes and his ears. Protect him. May he be an awesome employee today or bless his efforts today. Keep him safe on the highway. And Lord God, I just pray that you'd blow our minds with our marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you later, honey. Bye-bye. Next thing you do, you literally text or call them or tweet them during the course of the day. And you say, hey, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. And I can't wait to see you. God bless you. Be safe. Are you hearing me, people? Yes. Thirdly, tuck them into bed at night. That may lead to other things, but this is where you start. Literally put them to bed with a prayer and a thanks and a blessing. Let them hear you. Lord, thank you for my wife. Lord God, just bless her big time. Help her. This is my... It's coming out. I shouldn't tell you these things. Lord, help Lisa to put up with me. Help her to put up with me. Lord, just give her eyes for me. Give us a safe home tonight. And should you grant us the morning, we just thank you in advance now for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. 20 seconds. Church, we've got to do this right now. If we're Christians, this is a must. We've got to start somewhere. And I can't think of a more basic way to start. Can you stand? I want to pray for you. Can you stand? Heavenly Father, I remember you told Moses to turn and tell Aaron to turn and tell the people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee and give thee peace. That his countenance would be upon you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding would surround you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we stand before you, maybe this morning you have waited for some of us to say today, we as a church, we as a husband, we as a father, we as a wife, we as a mother, we as a single person, male, single person, female, devote to you a brand new prayer attitude in our lives to talk with you on a never-ending, never-ceasing, constant continuum as we practice the presence of truth. Really, the truth is our God never leaves us or forsakes us. Heavenly Father, we need a praying church. And Lord, I pray right now that you would even begin, as men and women would begin to pray for their marriages, that you would issue forth, God, tender hearts. Revive homes that are fragmented. That, Lord, as you hear the cry of mom and dad for their child, that kid would make a decision for Jesus once and for all. And Father, that there'd be a great move of your Holy Spirit in this church. That we would not let the apathy of the age crush out and choke out a relationship with you. Heavenly Father, I dedicate these people unto you, who you bought with your precious blood. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's close in this song of worship and praise. God bless you guys.